Well, my name's the Reverend Ollie Clegg, and I'm the rector of St Mungo's. Well, it's hard to believe that today's service marks 1 year of online church. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank everyone in the St Mungo's church family who have given of their time and talents and their energy to make these services such a blessing, and who have continued to be creative and allow us to encounter God as a church family. Thank you so much. At this point, if we were in the congregation, we'd be clapping, but obviously we can't. But please, if there's a way you can express that this week, then do so. Now, today is the last in our three-part sermon series on entitled Being Transformed, where we're looking at three principles which will help us to continue to take up God's invitation for us to go deeper with Him as we live our lives for Him. These principles are abide, transform, and go. And they're not just to help us as we start to ease out of lockdown, but for the rest of our lives. God each morning gives us an invitation to walk with Him, to abide with Him, and let Him transform us as we go into this world in His power and in His name. Now, in our first week, we looked at the principle of abide through the beautiful picture that Jesus gives us of the vine and the branches. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. Now we saw that abiding in Jesus is the starting point for each of us in our relationship with God. Jesus described himself as the vine, and we are grafted into that vine, into Christ, as the branches, as we believe and receive Jesus into our lives through faith. And as we know, faith is a gift given by God, as Paul makes clear when he says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. Now, last week, we looked at the principle of being transformed as we abide in Jesus. This focused on another amazing gift we've received from God to bring about that fruit, that transformation in lives that Jesus talks about in the person of the Holy Spirit. As we saw last week, it's the Holy Spirit who brings about not just the transformation at our conversion, but also the continued transformation in our day-to-day lives as we continue to abide in Jesus. As we continue to abide by trusting, yielding, and depending on God's word, living in Him and for Him, we start to see our lives bear much fruit through the Holy Spirit. Now, part of that fruit that we see growing in our lives as we are transformed by the Holy Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. Paul tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is in Galatians 5:22-23, when he says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But I also mentioned very briefly last week about a second kind of fruit that Jesus wants us to bear as we abide in Him. And that is evangelism, of sharing the gospel and seeing people come to know Jesus, just like we did. This morning, I want to focus on the third principle, which is go. Go in relation to going and sharing the good news of Jesus with others so that we can bear fruit as in new believers. Now, the risen Jesus, before ascending back into heaven, told his disciples to go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Matthew 28, what a great promise at the end that Jesus promises to be with us, even to the end of the age. Now, for someone to become a follower of Jesus, they need to hear the good news. Someone needs to go. And Paul made this clear to the Christians in Rome when he wrote, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Romans 10, 13 to 15. You know, if my friend Ed had not kept on going and sharing the gospel with me about the good news of Jesus Christ, then I would have never come to Jesus at the point I did. I'm always grateful to Ed for his persistence, not giving up, and keeping speaking to me about Jesus, even when I was quite rude to him. This morning, is there someone who obeyed Jesus and came to you and shared the good news, which allowed you to receive the good news? Why not text them and thank them this morning for being bold and courageous and be obedient? Or if that person has gone to be with Jesus, why not just after this service, give thanks to them, give thanks to Jesus for them? But before we look into why we need to go with the gospel, let's investigate what the word gospel means, which I think will help us to understand in a greater sense what the gospel is. Now, the word gospel translated in the Old Testament as the verb bishar and the noun bosora, and the Greek New Testament equivalent is euangelion, and each means good news or good announcement. You see that the biblical words for gospel refers to a message of good news or announcement. But it's not just any good announcement. These words were used in the Old Testament to announce a new ruler or king. It was a royal announcement. For example, after Solomon was made king, heralds were sent out declaring the good news that Israel had a new king. So we see the word gospel here in the Old Testament does not declare any news, but a royal news declaring a new king. Now, on the whole, the kings of Israel after Solomon did not do a great job. It all starts to go very wrong. Firstly, there is a split between the northern and the southern kingdom. Then there's exile first for the northern kingdom and then the southern kingdom. And then finally, only a remnant of God's people returns to rebuild Jerusalem. But in the midst of all this, the prophets, some of the prophets announce, give good news about a new king who will come to rescue God's people and bring God's kingdom here on earth, which he will rule. Now, as Jesus starts his ministry, God's people are under another foreign ruler, the Romans. It was not going well for them. And one of the first things we see Jesus announcing in the Gospel of Mark is this. Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news, Mark 1. Now you can see why the people were so excited. Was Jesus this new king that the prophets had talked about? Was he the one the prophets spoke about? Here, Jesus was announcing the inauguration of the good news of the kingdom of God here on earth. Now another significant moment was when Jesus read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue in Capernaum. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And you'll find that in Luke 4. Now, then in a moment that would have made everyone's hairs on the back of their neck in the synagogue stand on end, Jesus declares this, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And that from that moment on, Jesus went around not just proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God, but also demonstrating it through healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, freeing the oppressed, and sharing the good news about the kingdom of God so people could experience that. Then at the end of Jesus's life, we see Jesus giving his life in order that God could rescue us and bring us into his kingdom. Now, have you ever heard a king doing this for his subjects? The Bible Project writes, the cross is the royal announcement that God's purpose was to rescue his world by dying for it, by allowing our sins to overwhelm him unto death. But because God's love is more powerful than our evil, he overcame it with the resurrection life, which he now offers to anyone who turns and puts their trust in his royal love. So We're to go knowing that the good news is about a good and merciful King and his kingdom, who gave his life that we might receive life and stand forgiven. A risen King who's conquered death and rules from heaven. A King who invites anyone who will follow him into his new kingdom. The good news is not just about us being forgiven, but being brought into a kingdom which is now not yet here on earth. Yet as we abide, we'll see and experience more of it. But at the same time, we need to be able to go and share the good news in this world. And often we don't actually have that long to share it when there's an opportunity. So this morning, I want to share with you one of the earliest summaries of the gospel that we know so we can be ready to share the good news and to go. It's found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-8. And modern biblical scholarship actually believes this was a summary created by Christians very soon after the resurrection of Jesus. Paul writes this: "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And it goes on to say a bit more. Now, there are three important truths in this statement about the gospel that explain the gospel about what Jesus did to bring us into his kingdom. The first is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The second is that he was buried. And the third, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Let's have a look at each one of those. Firstly, Christ's death was for a specific reason. Christ died for our sins so that we could be forgiven. And without Christ dying on the cross, there would be no forgiveness and we could not enter the kingdom of God. It's only through his death, as we receive his forgiveness, that we are made right and righteous in God's sight. Because he never sinned, he was completely pure. Christ died for our sins. That's the first thing that we need to know about the gospel. The second thing that Paul makes us aware of is that Christ was buried. He died. If Christ had not died, then death could not have been conquered. So it's made explicit here that Christ died, which then follows onto the third point, that he was raised on the third day. Jesus conquered death by being raised to life, and that eternal life is now on offer to anyone who believes. The resurrection is like the receipt that our sins are forgiven, the proof of what Jesus said would happen before he was crucified. From that time on, Jesus began, it says in the Gospels, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day, be raised to life. That's Matthew 16. So we see the three important truths of the Gospel in the sense that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again. But this is just the start, and now we can live in the now and not yet of the kingdom of God as we wait for the return of Jesus so he can make all things new. You know, often we just think about the gospel as forgiveness, but actually it's about the good news of the kingdom of God is about us experiencing more of the kingdom as we are transformed, as we abide. So we've seen the meaning of the word gospel and what the gospel is so we can share it. It's not complicated, and I'd really encourage you to memorize those verses in 1 Corinthians. But lastly, I want to talk to you about how and why we should go with the gospel. The first thing is that we go in love. We go in love. There are two parts to this. The first is that as we abide in Jesus, we remain in his love. Jesus said, "Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." John 15. So we go knowing in our hearts and minds that we are loved by God. We are loved by Abba Father, that we are his beloved children. But the second part of this is that that as we remain in his love, we go with his love. If you look at the life of Jesus, you see that he loved so well. He went with the Father's love. The crowds that followed Jesus followed him because he cared and he loved them with that love of the Father. He provided food for them in distant places. He healed the sick. He raised the widow's dead son. He loved those who were told they were unlovable, who were sinners and outcasts. He set the oppressed free and he ate with the unlovable, the prostitutes and the tax collectors. People flocked to him because he loved so well. Jesus reflected his Father's love here on earth for the people of this world. And one of the things that really helps me to go with his love is to remember that I go in his love. My going is a response to his love for me. You know, I remember during the second turning mission, I was out in Edinburgh with one of the Livingston congregation. You'll probably work out who this lady is. This lady just oozes the love of Jesus as she smiles at people. As we were up near the university, I caught sight of some students, and we approached and asked if we could tell them two things. They laughed and said, okay. And I told them that God loved them and he had a plan for each one of their lives. They thought we were crazy and they just laughed. Now, to cut a long story short, we were allowed to share the gospel with them. And then one of the group, when we offered them a chance to respond, said they would like to receive Jesus. The group went quiet. We prayed, the boy prayed, and prophetic words started to flow, expressing the love of the Father for each of them. It was a wonderful moment when the power of the gospel was in play. And I came away feeling more in love with God and more in touch with his heart for this world. And I always remember that as we went away, the group said, that was crazy, but crazy good. We go in the love of God, in response to his love, because we are loved and we want others to know that they are loved too. The second thing is we go in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was given to enable the church to be missional, to go, to share the gospel. Just think what happened when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. You know, in response to the crowds hearing the gospel from Peter, Acts tells us that those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000! 3,000 did not just accept the message, but were also baptized. That's quite a lot of people to baptize in one setting. 1 minute, Peter and the apostles, the 120, were hiding in a room, and the next, they were sharing the gospel. Why? Because they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to bear fruit as we remain in the vine. So remember to ask for the Holy Spirit's help, to thirst for him and ask him to fill you, as we talked about last week. Something that really encouraged me is what Paul shares in Romans, which has to do with the power that the Holy Spirit brings. Paul said this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." Romans 1:16. I really encourage you to underline that verse. Conversion does not happen because of our wise words or amazing methods we might use. No, it happens because the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to anyone who believes. Our part is to go, to share, and the Holy Spirit does the rest. Just as we saw in our lives, it's the Holy Spirit who converts us, who makes our spirits come alive. There have been many times I have shared the gospel in meetings on the street and thought, boy, I have messed that up. And the person then comes to faith. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to anyone who believes. So if you just think, well, I'm not very confident. If you've got the gospel down, then remember, it's the power of God. The Holy Spirit is there to bring about the transformation. All you need to do is go and share. The next point is we go because Jesus commands us to do so. Now, you might be saying in response to me, well, I'm not an evangelist, and that's fine. But you are Jesus's witness. One of the last things Jesus said to his disciples was this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Acts 1:8. We are Jesus's witnesses here on earth. and we are simply being obedient to Jesus by going. And then the last thing I want to share, we go because there is no other plan. We are it. We are God's plan. Have you thought about it like that? We are God's plan as his witnesses to share the good news about the kingdom of God with others. You know, we often think that people are not interested in hearing about Jesus. I wonder if you remember the vox pop from the Christmas carol service 2 years ago. Phil, Neil and I had gone into Princess Street Christmas market to ask people about Jesus. I can't even remember what we asked them. But all of a sudden, there was an opportunity that arose to share the gospel with two ladies we were interviewing and to offer them a chance to respond. I have to say I was a bit taken back because they were only the second people that we talked to. But you see, we had prayed before that we would have an opportunity to share the gospel. You see, we are God's plan, and there are people out there who God wants us to talk to. In fact, who he's lining us up to talk to. So we see, we go in love and with his love to share the gospel. We go in the power of the Holy Spirit, relying on him to bring the transformation. And we go because we are obeying Jesus' commands to go. And we go because God does not have another plan. We are it. Now, one of the things that I hope you've seen that's really important is to see how these three principles of abide, transform, go work together. As we abide in Jesus, we are transformed, we bear fruit. And as we're transformed, we go into this world to share the good news. But where can we go, you might be asking, during a time when the government is asking us to stay at home except for essential purposes? Well, I want to finish by just suggesting some ways that we can go in this time. Why not send a card or a message or a text or even pick up the phone to someone you know who's not a Christian and yet who's struggling? Before you do that, ask for a scripture you can share or even a bit of testimony, and then tell them in the midst of the conversation or write it in a card. And always remember to pray. The second thing you can do is ask God to help you in the way that you conduct yourself on Zoom or Teams calls if you're doing that a lot of the day, and that he would provide you with opportunities while you're speaking with your colleagues to maybe share some testimony. One of our house groups shared about just dropping hope into the conversation the whole time and just seeing what happens. I think we're all going for a lot more walks at the moment. And while going out for a walk, I'd encourage you to smile at people and say hello. I always say hello is the most anointed word in the kingdom of God, because it starts the possibility of a conversation, and that starts the possibility of sharing the good news. And as we look forward to the easing of restrictions in the next few weeks and months, I would encourage you right now to start to pray that God would put people in your way who are hungry to know Jesus, and be expectant and use the opportunities God gives you when they come. And then the last thing, in this time, start to memorize the gospel. Know the gospel so that you can explain it to others when someone asks you for the reason that you have a hope in him. God has given us an amazing task. He's called us to go, not in our own strength, but in his strength and his love, so that the world can be changed, so that people's lives can be radically changed. Why don't we just pause for a moment and think about the person who shared Jesus with us. Maybe it was one of our family members. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe we went to an evangelistic meeting. Just think, if that person hadn't shared that message, would you be here today? Would you be watching this? God calls us to go in love and in his power to share the good news, so that others may be brought into the kingdom of God and experience God's love. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you call us to an adventure, that as we abide, you transform us. And as you transform us, you call us to go into all the world and make disciples. Father, that might be quite scary, but I pray today that you give us a fresh passion to go into this world. And we've talked about some of the ways we can do that even in lockdown. So help us to be active about this. Help us to know that there are people out there who are desperate to come to know Jesus. And Father, we pray that you would put them in our way, put them in on our minds and our hearts so that we can start praying for them. And we thank you for the good news of the kingdom of God that we can share with others. Holy Spirit, fill us afresh today. As we abide in you, would you continue to transform us and help us to go. In Jesus' name, amen.